You are listening to The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards.
Hello, this is Matthew Childs.
And I'm Cindy Parakill.
Standards, well, they affect all of us, every day, everywhere. By defining good practice, they help people, organisations, the economy and society do things better.
And every year, standards-making bodies around the world publish thousands of them for all sorts of things. For some of the big stuff that affects all our lives, like ISO 22000, an international standard that helps food producers and suppliers around the world manage risks and keep our food safe.
And it's not just the big stuff, it's the small stuff too. There's a standard for pen caps, which reduces the risk of asphyxiation if children accidentally swallow pen caps. Amazing, really.
And then there's everything in between, from standards that help organizations protect customer data and strengthen cybersecurity, to those that guide the safe and effective use of AI in medical devices, to those that ensure the cables that charge our smartphones work reliably.
In fact, if you viewed the artwork for this podcast episode or taken a photo on your smartphone today, you've likely relied on JPEGs, all made possible by the standard ISO IEC 10918 that defines how these images are compressed and displayed worldwide.
And standards like these are made by standards makers. Tens of thousands of people from around the world who get together to agree good practice to the way things are made and done. All helping to make life easier, safer, and more enjoyable.
Now, this episode of The Standard Show is my conversation with one of those standards makers, Harry Pangley. Harry is a chartered architectural technologist and architect with more than 20 years' experience across UK residential, commercial, and industrial projects. Since 2018, he has specialised in construction disputes and now works at Expert Architect Limited as a forensic architect and expert witness. He represents the Chartered Institute of Architectural Technologists on several BSI committees and chairs BSI Committee B209 on General Design and Construction Standards, helping shape standards across the built environment. I spoke to Harry about why he is a standards maker, the impact it's had on his career, and his advice to anyone looking to get involved in standards. I started by asking him to tell me about that role of forensic architect.
I started off as an architectural technologist back in 2006. And as I went through the industry, you know, sort of worked for different practices in different places up and down the UK, I saw an advert for a job, which was titled Forensic Architect. And I thought, well, this is interesting. So back in 2018, I applied to that role. And that is quite a niche area of the construction industry where a forensic architect also acts as an expert witness in construction disputes. And so in 2018, I hung up the scale ruler, you know, put down my crayons, and I jumped straight into investigating building defects, advising on where, you know, construction is going wrong, and also deconstructing buildings as well as looking at what should have complied at the point in time when the building was designed. And that kind of leads into how important sort of standards and are to us in that regard.
Let's come to that. So tell me about your current job then. What does that involve on the day-to-day?
Day-to-day, it's quite a broad job. So there isn't a particular type of role. So as a forensic architect and an expert witness in construction disputes, what we would end up doing is we would get an instruction, and that instruction could be, we suspect that there's a water leak on this building because we're seeing damage. We would like to see what that is. You know, why is there water ingress? What's the cause and who is responsible for it? So a part of that role would be to look at lots of documents. So if we're looking at a small building, it could be you know, 100 documents. If we're looking at a big development, we could get 200,000 emails that we would have to shift through and filter through. To get the context as to what is that building, you know, what is it constructed of, you know, when was it designed, when was it built? We take that information, then we go and see if we need to do an intrusive investigation. That's where we deconstruct buildings. So we go out of the office environment, we then get all kitted up, and we go into a environment where we are then on cherry pickers or on aluminium scaffold towers, and we're starting to deconstruct buildings to really understand, well, why is that part of the building damaged? Or if panels are falling off buildings, you know, what's wrong with the fixings? And then we take all that information back to the office, we sit down, we start to sort of break it down to really understand, well, okay, actually, do we know what the material is? Do we know what they should have complied with at the time? And then we start to look at the contract, you know, who was actually responsible for that part of the building? And then from that, we then produce a report. Now, that's when the dispute starts to develop. So we are typically instructed by law firms and insurance companies. And the lawyers will then take that information. And if there's someone to pursue, they will pursue it. And then we enter our normal role as a, you know, we go from a forensic architect role or expert advisor role into then an expert witness role, where we're then formally instructed to be an independent expert witness.
Now, Harry, this sounds like obviously a very serious undertaking, and I'm going to anticipate your answer here, but I'm assuming standards obviously are important to your job, but how important are standards to your job?
Very important. I mean, standards will help us understand as to what should have been considered at the time of the design. So a lot of building defects, you know, they're not always workmanship. It's not always that, you know, the contractor has not followed what they should have followed. It could also come back down to what did the designer design? Was there a standard they were supposed to be designing to? Or was there not enough guidance out there? And the designer just took the best approach possible. Or there was a standard out there where they looked at it and thought, we don't know what to do, so we're going to make a good interpretation of what we should do, and they got it wrong, and that resulted in damage to a building or damage to people in and around a building. Standards are, or is, something that we look at on a regular basis as a part of our role as an expert witness.
Just to think it out, just give us an example of sort of a particular standard you might use on a regular basis.
Ah, right. So it will be, so the 8579 guide to design of balconies and terraces is something I'm looking at on a regular basis recently, you know, the last few months. And that's to do with the disputes primarily are quite broad. I mean, you've got water ingress issues, which the standard provides good guidance on. There's issues as well with small children climbing barriers and trying to sort of jump off balconies on tall buildings. And then there's also issues with the way that the decking boards are installed and are deflecting and starting to create a uneven surface. And BS 8579 was, and I was put, I'm being slightly biased here because I was part of the drafting committee on that, does provide quite robust guidance as to what a designer should consider when they are actually designing these balconies. And in all of these cases that I've described in terms of water ingress, you know, undulations of, you know, decking boards and climbable barriers, that was all quite clearly set out in that standard. So the designers really should have reviewed it, understood it, and actually applied it to their drawings so they could be built correctly.
Obviously, you are a standards user there, Harry. Talk about, you know, your role as a forensic architect and an expert witness. So using standards is an important part of your job. Now, you've already hinted at it. You are a standards maker too. So what standards do you make? You know, what standards are you involved with?
So I'm involved with BS8579, which is the Guide to Design of Balconies and Terraces. That's the only standard that I've been a part of when it comes to making a standard from scratch. I am the committee chair of B209, which is General Design and Construction Standards Committee, and I'm a part of the B546 for flexible sheets, waterproofing, and water vapor membranes. And so I kind of, on those committees, the B209 and the B546, I kind of sit there and have an overarching view of all the other little standards being created beneath that, under that umbrella, such as BS5606, which is on accuracy and tolerances in design and construction. One that's quite topical right now, which is BS6465 on sanitary installations. And then we've got the famous BS sort of 8000 series for workmanship in construction. So these are quite commonly used standards in the industry. I kind of sit with a broader committee that if there are any issues on these standards, we get to reach out to the pool of experts we have on that committee to help and jump into these smaller committees to help them drive any sort of technical issues they may have in their committee discussions.
So a nice mixture of sort of broad and specific standards that you're involved with. So how about your standards journey then? How and when did it start for you, and where are you now?
So I first got involved when the Chartered Institute of Architecture Technologists had reached out to the membership about a creation of a new standard, which is on balconies. And you know, a lot of my design life was to do with designing lots of balconies, and also part of my expert witness role, you know, I come across a lot of balcony defects. And you know, at that time, you know, looking at before 2020, there wasn't much guidance on balconies. There wasn't anything that could really help a designer understand the potential issues that you would have. And when you work in sort of disputes, a lot of the technical issues, that they're not made public. So you can't really bring them up to the surface and say to designers, you know, oh, by the way, watch out for this particular interface, because that could result in water ingress later on in life. So instead, this was a great opportunity for me to get involved with the committee involved, you know, designing this guide for design of balconies and terraces, and actually put my experiences forward and get something in writing that could help designers design better quality and safer buildings.
So what motivated you then to get involved at that point?
Well, I never knew how poorly, when you work in my world, which is construction dispute, you don't come across good, you know, you only see defective buildings. And when you only see defective buildings, you've got this obscured view that you think, well, hang on, why are they so defective? And so my motivation here was, well, we could do better in industry. You know, if designers are confused, if standards out there at the moment could be interpreted in multiple ways and result in such damage, I actually have a good sort of outlook as an input that I could have in these committees to help drive better buildings. And I think that's my motivation, is that, you know, whilst it's my day-to-day job looking at defective buildings, I'd rather not look at defective buildings if I don't have to. You know, it's a shame, and the consequential damage is so bad. It does make me think, if I've got an opportunity to help change that, then I really would like to get involved. And I think that was the reason why I did.
Well, you grabbed that opportunity then, that you were driven by that sort of, you know, very important motivation for getting involved there. I just wonder what's keeping you involved. You are a standards maker now. You're working in all those areas you described. Are the motivations the same for staying involved?
Yes. Yeah, they certainly are. I mean, there's no dispute that's the same. There's no technical issues that are always common. I mean, we look at a variety of issues. And so my motivation to keep involved is to help sort of do what I did with BS 8579. And that is to kind of give my knowledge and expertise and my experiences to help better sort of either create new standards or change the existing ones so they prevent these issues occurring in the future. So that's continually my motivation at this present moment in time.
So Harry, you're 8 years in now to your standards making. I just wonder, what's been the impact of standards making on your career?
I don't think it's actually had a huge impact in terms of progression within my company, because that's not how my company potentially works in that sense. But, you know, if I worked for an architectural firm, you know, I could see the massive benefit that it would have on my career and my development in-house. But in terms of my knowledge and experience, it improves vastly. You know, being a part of BSI, getting involved with standards, really does broaden my knowledge. And that is actually quite powerful when it comes to looking at, let's say, what I do is defective buildings. When I do turn up to site or someone describes an issue to me, I have a better, I suppose I'm in a better position to know where to look and where to go to find the potential answers or what should and should not have been done. And I think that helps me in my journey as an expert witness greatly.
So that's obviously impact on yourself there, Harry. How about your employers? You know, what the impact for them of you being a standards maker?
Well, it's very important. I mean, it does have a big impact because it does raise the profile of the company. It raises the profile such that they have individuals employed who have a more sort of in-tuned and detailed knowledge of standards, which is actually quite crucial to technical disputes. So it does certainly raise their profile, raises my profile as an expert too.
Now, how about your proudest standards making moment so far, Harry? What would you point to?
Well, it would have to be BS 8579, mainly because that is the first standard I got involved in and the only standard that I'm writing at the moment and currently it's being reviewed. And I think my proudest moment there is that the fact my experiences in the construction dispute world, looking at defects, how some of that knowledge has actually fed into this standard. And hopefully going forwards, those disputes that I've, or those defects that I've seen, will no longer exist in those buildings in 10 years' time. And I think my proudest moment is that the fact that I had that input and that influence to change, to create better quality buildings and safer buildings.
Now, you mentioned they're going forward and you talked about 10 years there. You're approaching 10 years as a standards maker. What's next for you in your standards journey?
B209, as the General and Construction Standards Committee, it's generally a committee that mops up all the standards or design standards that don't fit into any other construction bubble or committee. And so the committee itself is actually quite broad. I mean, expertise on that committee is huge. And there's good reason for that because, you know, if we're looking at flat roof design, it'll fall under B546 for flexible sheets for waterproofing. But it doesn't quite fit into, if it didn't fit into that committee, it would then fall under B209. And so, you know, I'm quite looking forward to being involved and being the chair of B209 because the broad nature of standards that could actually come to us and be developed is endless. And that journey is quite exciting.
Now, I think it'd be fair to say, Harry, that you've had a pretty good experience of being a standards maker. Now, you talked about journey there. What advice would you give to anyone else considering, you know, starting their standards journey?
Certainly, just get involved. You have nothing to lose. It's only going to benefit you in broadening your knowledge, awareness, and coming across some amazing professionals out there who have extensive knowledge. You know, construction is a funny one where there won't be a single individual that knows everything. And so we always rely on expertise of others. And being a part of, you know, standards making has, you know, even raised awareness to me as to those types of experts that do exist in the field that you could certainly rely on in your professional career. And I think driving change and for the better to build, you know, better quality buildings and safer buildings, you know, is certainly something I think a lot of younger professionals certainly would love to be involved with. I certainly enjoy it. And you know, the way you get into it is just to jump in with 2 feet. You know, like I said before at the start of this, you've got nothing to lose.
Now, like Harry, you too might want to be part of the standards community, sharing your expertise to shape standards in design and construction. Or maybe you want to create smarter transport solutions or help organisations create more inclusive workplaces. Or maybe you really want to make a difference in the field of medical devices or baby feeding products or maybe cybersecurity. It doesn't matter. Whatever your thing, get involved in standards. We welcome applicants from all fields, backgrounds, and career stages. Our goal is simple: to have a balance of perspectives around the table. So start that standards journey now. Details of how to do so are in the show notes. And the show notes are also where you can find details of our socials and all the other ways to get in touch with us here on The Standard Show.
You have been listening to an episode of The Standard Show, the podcast that brings you the stories behind the standards.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.